We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'll tell you, this the league never sleeps, man. Even waiting for a Super Bowl, it's still rolling. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, joins us this morning. Pete, how are you, bud?
Good. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing okay. I'm trying to figure out, and I know some people are starting to get a little tired of it, but what the hell's Vic Fangio doing? He was in. He's sort of in. Then he tells a few people, hey, I'm not that in yet. I didn't sign it. What's going on with Vic Fangio? A lot of people still think it's going to happen, but any idea?
Well, I think he made a commitment to Sean Payton last year that if they both got back in, that if he got back in, he was going to go with him. That was one of the issues. And so, you know, now there's a talk, you know, does he renege on that word? And, you know, he made a promise to him. So if he's going to renege on it, I mean, I think he's got to look at it and say, hey, look, he's going to, you know, be true to his word. So I think that's a possibility. Then there's the San Francisco possibility as well. And then Miami. And I heard, you know, that was more of his agent who committed 100% to the Dolphins rather than him. So we'll see.
I mean, yeah, look, no, I figured that.
Everybody wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and if it's not signed, you know that. If we've seen guys reverse course in free agency even before the thing is signed. So, you know, that's the thing about all this stuff getting out so quickly is the fact that it wasn't signed, and he's got options now. So I think that's why he's taking his time. Look, if Miami gets him, that's a great signing. He's a hell of a football coach and a hell of a defensive coordinator, and we know they need that.
Yeah, so I guess the only thing I just follow up, because I can't remember it happening, where a guy was fired as head coach a year earlier and comes back to be the defensive coordinator on the same team. Usually when you get fired, there's a little bad blood with – I know it's a new organization, but just the same group. A lot of guys just want to get a fresh start and get the hell out of there and send my checks to wherever I'm living. We don't see that very often for him to potentially go back, right, to where he was the head coach.
That would be weird, and I get it. I think that's why it's, you know, when you look at it, there's still some, you know, decisions that need to be made. Because, I mean, if you're Sean Payton, do you want him to go there and be your defensive coordinator when he was the head coach there? And as good a defensive coordinator as he is, that's still an awkward situation. So
yes.
I would understand that. But, you know, San Francisco's in play as well. And you know, he's been there and coached there before, so I think that would make some sense too.
Well, Pete, I know I do this all the time, I think, since I've known you. Matter of fact, I think when I see you, I always go, well, shortage of quarterbacks, here we go again. The big winner this offseason, by far, no matter what anybody out there thinks of, because I get people ripping every day, Derek Carr is going to be the big winner when we get rolling with this shortage of quarterbacks. Do you agree with that?
He will be a starter. I don't know if he's going to be a big winner in terms of mega contracts or anything, but he will be a starter somewhere. And you know, look, you're right. Look at this, the starting quarterback situation in the NFC South.
The
Bucs don't have one. The Saints really don't have one. The Falcons have a third-round quarterback, you know, in Ridder, who was a rookie last year. And then Carolina doesn't have one. So, yeah, he's going to end up with a job, and he's going to end up as a starter somewhere. The question becomes with a guy like Carr, and you know this, are you a win with or a win because of? And he's always a win with guy. You know, there only is so many win because of guys, and when you have the win because of guys, you're going to have sustainable success like the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Bills and now Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence and you know, the Chargers will be around with Herbert. But if you don't have that guy, you got to hope everything goes perfectly. You got to be able to play great defense. You got to get the ball turned over. You can't make mistakes. You got to be able to run the ball. And he's one of those guys, I think. So I don't necessarily think he's in that group. You know, he's in that Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr, Ryan Tannehill. You know, some people would say Tua is in that group. Can you win because of them, or do you win with them? And I think he's more of a win with.
Well, now the San Francisco thing. They're saying, Jimmy G, hey, get healthy and God bless you. Good luck with your next place. Purdy's trying to make the – if it's Tommy John, your season is over, by the way. And Trey Lance coming back. All of a sudden, the 49ers don't look so good at quarterback.
And, you know, there was talk that they were going to go make the play for Brady to bring him back home. And you know, that's now out the window. At least today it is. Anyways, you never know with that guy. But I think you're right. They have problems. But, again, if you go back to what the 49ers did, you gave away all those assets. You committed to Trey Lance. He was your guy. You went up and traded to go get him. Make him a guy.
Yeah.
If Purdy can't play, and you're right. I mean, if that's Tommy John surgery, I can't imagine he plays during the season at all. Then you know, Trey Lance is your quarterback, and that's the guy you went to go get. And look, Trey Lance didn't really get much time last year to show what he could do. And it's not like it's an offense that doesn't have stars all around it and make it easy on the quarterback. And so I think, yeah, you play with Trey Lance and go from there.
So I don't know if I'm going to talk to you next week. You see this Super Bowl as a good one, not to jump the gun here. I know it's next week. Or do you expect a tight ball game, or could this be a blowout? Is Philadelphia that good?
I don't think it's going to be a blowout because of Mahomes. I mean, that's the reason it won't be a blowout. He'll keep his team in the game. You know, but you're right. The Eagles' offensive line is just a brute force, and they can run the ball, and they make it easy on the quarterback, and he can make the big-time throws to those outside receivers. But there's something to be said about the Chiefs, and the Chiefs do have a game wrecker. You know, you gotta, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, you got to have a Chris Jones type game wrecker. They have that. Frank Clark shows up in the big game, so they have an edge rusher who can do it. The question becomes, can their secondary, which is young, hold up? And then on the other side of the ball, the Eagles have 70 sacks. 70. You know, they were two off the record. They had 29. By the way, for all Dolphin fans out there who have no hope, they had 29 last year, the Eagles. So they you can improve that side of the ball quickly. In terms of rushing the passer. And I think when you look at them, if you can, you know, get out of the third and long situations, then I think you can have success against them as well, because I do think they're beatable if you do throw the football against them. So, I think the Eagles are the favorite for a reason, but I think the Mahomes factor always plays into it. So I'm probably leaning to the Chiefs, but you're right. It's going to be a tough, tough game.
So Pete, I got to ask, we got two openings left, and a lot of people are watching to see which way this goes with the Colts and the Cardinals. What do you think happens? Who do you think ends up getting those jobs? You have a feel one way or the other?
You know, Peyton Manning pushed for Brian Callahan in Indianapolis, and I know that, you know, the offensive coordinator for the Bengals, and you know Jimmy Ursay listens to Peyton Manning and respects him, so I think there's a possibility for him there. Aaron Glenn's going back for a second interview. I think Aaron Glenn will end up with one of the two jobs. I really do. I think, you know, you saw the success of what happened with Dan Campbell. You know, D'Amico Ryans is now going in as the next player back in Houston. And I think, you know, if you can hire a defensive coach, even though you have it, like if you have Kyler Murray, you can still hire a defensive coach, provided you're okay with who the offensive coordinator is. And you know this, Joe, being the coach doesn't mean you have to oversee the one side of the ball, or the other. It's managing players, managing coaches, and let the coaches coach. It's not, everybody makes such a big deal. Oh, what was his, how was he calling plays? That's not what that position's about. That position's about managing the roster, managing egos, managing your coaches, and relating to your players. And, you know when to push and when to pull back. And it's not X's and O's. That's a bonus if you get that from your head coach. But I don't think that's a necessary thing to be a head coach in the NFL.
What's going to happen with Brian Flores? There for a while looked like he might have three or four defensive coordinator jobs, and are saying he'd be perfect with his discipline for the Arizona Cardinals. Everything kind of got quiet on Brian Flores.
Yeah, and I wonder if people are scared off by the suit. I think, you know, look, Brian Flores is going to get another chance eventually, and I think he should. I mean, look, you look at his record. You know his record down there. It wasn't that bad, and there was just a lot of infighting, and I think he got too caught up in being – more like, you know, Belichick than being more like Brian Flores, and I think that hurt him. But he's going to get another shot. He's going to be a defensive coordinator again, and he'll get another head coaching job, and probably should. And, you know, because, look, it wasn't awful in Miami when he's there. People act like it was terrible. It wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't. It was and actually his defense was really good when he was here. It's, I think, a lot more had to do with the offense side of the ball, but the relationship stuff, I don't know if he learns from some of that stuff and be himself and, as you said, not try. I don't know why all of Belichick's guys, black and white, all feel like they got to have some Belichick in them. That's like Don Shula. Yeah, like nobody else could coach like, yeah, Don Shula could get away with that, but you can't. You don't have a resume. Right. Don't do it.
Right. It's and, you know, it's like I remember when Kevin Gilbride was an offensive coordinator in Jacksonville and got the job as the Chargers head coach. Kevin Gilbride wasn't like that. He tried to be like Coughlin. You can't do that. It's not be who you are. And, you know, and I actually had a conversation with Flores about that last year at the Combine. I said, you know, look, I've been around this league a long, long time, Brian. I go, next time you're a head coach, be you. Because he's, you know, he's not a bad, he's a good guy, Brian Flores. Be you. And, you know, I think he said, yeah, I there's a lot of things I have to take from that first chance of being a head coach and move forward and understand that there were mistakes made. He gets it. And, you know, it didn't help that there was the backstabbing in the, or, you know, with the defensive coordinator and everybody else in that building. And, you know, the like you said, the offensive coaches, you got to hire good coaches. If you don't hire a good coach, you're going to have problems.
I wanted to ask you, I saw the Dolphins did get rid of Josh Boyer, got rid of a couple of other defensive coaches. If a Vic Fangio comes in, and let's say he didn't want to keep any of the coaches, like, hey, we really like this guy, and he goes, well, I kind of got my own guy for that job. Does he win? Is that something that's put into that contract when he comes to town, or does he just inherit, like, a couple of coaches because the Dolphins organization likes him?
You got to work that out when you're taking the deal.
Yeah.
That's something that you work out. Like if I'm negotiating with Mike McDaniel and I say, look, I'm more than willing to take this money and take this job. But if I'm coming here, I'm bringing my guy to run the defensive line. I'm bringing my guy here. And they say, whoa, I got my guy. You're going to have to work this out with me. And then you negotiate and you say, okay, I'll keep him and you get him. You know, that kind of thing. I think that's what you do. And because you don't want, and you know, you were there, you were in the building. You don't want coaches going against the head coach or the defensive coordinator. And that happened in Miami. You know that. There was a big friction in that building with Boyer and Flores and other guys on that staff. That became a problem for them.
That's correct.
And so I think you know that. And they don't want that to kind of bleed over. Look, one thing that tears apart NFL teams and front offices and coaching staffs and even in the locker room, egos. And everybody has an ego. And the one thing you see the coach and a GM, they're smiling. We're going to make this thing work. And then as soon as they start making it work, one of them starts trying to take the credit for more than the other guy. And the other guy starts complaining, you're not coaching the guys I drafted right. And the coach starts complaining, you're not drafting the guys I need. And next thing you know, they're going at it. There's a fight for power. It's no different in the coaching staff. And in the locker room, egos destroy NFL teams, and it's happened many a time.
That sounds like Jeff Ireland and Joe Philbin right off the top, but there's been a whole bunch of combos here that have did exactly what you were just talking about, where it got really ugly. Before I let you go.
You know what they should say, Joe?
Yeah.
You're making $5 million a year. I'm making $8 million a year. Let's work together as long as we can to make this damn thing work. We're idiots. Yeah. What the hell are we doing?
100%. 100%. I don't disagree with that. So I did this a long time ago when Marino retired. And I go, 61,000 yards and 400. Nobody's ever going to touch those numbers. And now Tom Brady has taken it to a new level. Does anybody ever again get to 89,000 passing yards and 649 touchdown passes?
You know, I used to say that Shula's record was unbreakable. Well, it isn't anymore.
Nope.
I mean, I thought that nobody would break that record because he started so young and he won so many games. And now you look at Belichick and he's going to chase him down. And so, and you know, they play more games now, so it's a little easier too. But as far as the Brady record, here's the problem with that. These guys now make so much money, that by the time you get to the age 35, are you going to want to keep going? Are you want to keep pushing for it? Like Mahomes would have a chance to break them all if he played the same amount of years. I think he would break them all. But does he have the desire and the want to and the drive when he's made tons and tons of money. You know, Brady made $333 million in his career. These guys are going to go soaring past that.
Yes.
And so does he have the drive and desire to do what Brady did to get the ability and the chance to break the record? And I don't think they will. That's the difference. If Mahomes wanted to and play that long, he could and he would. But I don't think they'll want to. And I think that's where the difference between Brady and the rest of those guys is.
Pete, it's always great having you. I appreciate you finding time here on a Thursday. You take care and have a great day.
You got it, Joe. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.